All right, then it, the youth do a great job.
Yeah.
He's like, that's all right. You know, a lot of these kids, they just like pick up instruments just in the last few months. And this is only like a third of our worship team. We got like 15, I don't know, we got a bunch of them anyway. That, you know, we talked about doing worship, and we just thought, we got one person up there just doing a cappella, and, you know, just with the guitar, we praising God, right?
Amen.
I mean, who wants to be a part of this? And the kids were like, okay, okay. They just start, and they're learning like multiple instruments. Ain't nothing like serving God with the gifts that God gave you, right?
Amen.
Amen. So, I was talking in our first service. You know, Pastor put this up here a few months ago, and every time I see it, I think it's like, oh, it's dinner time. We're ready for a good meal, so, you know, we got to get ready. Got to get ready for eating, right? And then if there's anything that drops off, you know, because I'm preaching to myself, too. I preached to myself for, Pastor gave me a month to prepare, so. Hold on, get ready, okay? We got a big meal coming. And we get every week, we get meals together. And what's best about having a good meal is meals with family, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's what we're together today, having a meal together with family. You know, and we, you know, you go to the potluck, and, you see that good dish that's coming through, it's like, man, I want some of that, right? You get all excited about it, but you want to be humble, right? You want to be last, you know? I'm going to be a humble guy. And so you wait, and then you get up there, and guess what? That dish is all gone. And you're like, what? No! You know, that's what happens when we miss serve. You know, we've been having good meals all year. We're going into the Romans chapter 4. But last week was a great meal on Romans chapter 3. And then next week, after chapter 4 comes, chapter 5. So let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to get all this stuff reorganized. Over here. So, Romans chapter 4. And let's pray. All right. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together as family, as the body of Christ, to worship you, Lord God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, Father God. Lord God, we just don't want milk, but Father, Lord, we want meat, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your word would cut through bone, through joint, through marrow, straight to the heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, not my words, but your words would go forth, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way in me, have your way in all of us, have your way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. So it says, What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? And we're going to find out nothing. Anything we do in the flesh accomplishes nothing. For the things we do in the flesh are like filthy rags, right? Our good works are filthy rags toward God. We're going to find out what this is. In the Old Testament, Abraham was referred to 40 times. Well, I don't know. The New Testament, 75 times. We're going to go to all those scriptures today. I'll try. I will try. The youth, no. Yeah, they're like, We're going to get through it. But so let's look at where Abraham came from. How many of you guys know that Abraham was a pagan? He wasn't born like, come out the womb, glory, hallelujah. You know, he wasn't. You know, Abraham worshipped other gods. And so let's see where he came from. Let's turn, and we're going to come back to Romans. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 11. That one's easy for me to get to. First book, right? If I'm wrong, let me know. Genesis chapter 11. So, we're going to be in verse 31. It says, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son. So, Abram's Abraham. And Lot, his son. And Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into a land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So, Ur was in modern-day Iraq, like near the bottom. And so God actually, and we're going to find out that God called Abraham to go. And so he went from down in modern-day Iraq, if you know your geography. I had to look it up, okay. It's been a while. So modern-day Iraq, but above that, Syria, traveled through Syria, and then went, and then Haran was in the bottom of Turkey over there. And so on the other side of the Euphrates River, and then on the other side of the Euphrates River was Canaan, which God promised and told Abraham to go to, and we're going to find out. But they stayed in Haran for 15 years. In Ur and in Haran, they worshiped other gods. And the main god that they worshipped was a god called Nana. We have any Nanas in here? Not my mom. My mom's name. The kids call him Nana. But Nana was the moon god. And so they would worship. People still worship that today. There's other religions that came out of that. The moon god. And so they worshipped this moon god. So Abraham was a pagan in idol worship. He wasn't born a believer in God, right? He wasn't born that way. So they left Canaan. They went, you know, all the way through, all the way up to Turkey. And so Terah, Abraham's father, held him up. And we're going to see that. And we're going to find out. And so we're going to come back to this, but so what's holding us up in life from following the call of God? You think about that. What are the things that are holding us back? Is it work? Is it money? Even family? Our education? Our cars? What's holding us back from following the call of God? That God had called us to. Because when he didn't leave Haran until he was 75 years old. He got called 15 years before that. He waited 15 years. Let's see what happened. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Acts chapter 7. And there's some cheats up there, and I got my own. Pretty good. Pastor printed it for me. Thanks, Pastor. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. It says, and Stephen said, brothers and fathers, hear me, the God of glory appeared. That's a good thing, right? The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, that's Ur, before he lived in Haran. So we see that God spoke to Abraham all the way back in Ur, 15 years before that. And he says, go out from your land and from your kindred, your family, go away from them, and from your land, from your business, from all this stuff, and go into the land that I will show you. We're going to talk about this land, even what really he's going to be talking about. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him. Sometimes God got to do a little moving, huh? He's got to move some stuff out of our lives. Sometimes we got to be ready for God to move stuff out of our lives and not hold on to it. And check it out. It says, what happened? God removed him from there into the land which you are now living. He's talking to them, the promised land. Yet he gave him no inheritance. What? But you said, I'm going to inherit the land of Canaan. He said, you know, all this. Not even a foot length. We think of inheritance wrong sometimes. But it says he didn't even get a foot length of the land. You know, Abraham was a sojourner his whole life. You know, we are sojourners in this earth. Amen. We know, you know, we're just passing through. Amen. That this is not our home. And we're going to get more into that. In it, not even a foot length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him. Though he had no children. So we'll see, you know, get into that more about later. So also turn to Joshua chapter 24. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. And it says, Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. It says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel. Like we're gathering right here. Shechem, and surrounded the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua, and that's what we should be doing, right? Presenting ourselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord. It's important, right? The God of Israel, here it goes. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and they served what? Other gods. Then I took your father Abraham, there it goes again, I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. So we see that he was on the other side of the river. Was that all, you know, that's all of us at one point, right? We were all on the other side. We were all unbelievers. We were all idol worshipers. We all worshiped other gods. Some people are still dabbling in it, right? They're on the shoreline. You know, and remember that old life. Remember, people like to get together and talk about that old life, huh? And brag about that old, the good old days, huh? And that old life. Remember what we used to do in that? Most of it was what? Sin, huh? Like that. And then, you know, they want to get right up against. And then they, you know, like Lot. Remember when Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he was outside. And then he was at the gate. And then all of a sudden, Lot was in the middle of town, right? And that's what we get. And some people are still dabbling in this stuff. Still dabbling in the worship of other gods. And we thought, oh, I don't worship no other gods, right? Ah, I don't got no other gods. Sometimes our job could be our god, right? Sometimes a person could be our god. Sometimes our house, our dreams. I'm not talking about God's dreams. Our dreams could be on God, right? So we do. And we dabble in that. We want to step into that. But it says that He took Abraham from beyond the river, right? He was beyond the river and he took him over to the other side. And we don't want to get stuck dabbling in the middle in idol worship. Romans 3, last week we finished Romans chapter 3. Pastor was talking about one of them good meals we had. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 12, it says, as it is written, no one is righteous, no, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. Wow, this is harsh. You think, oh man. No one does good, not even one. But that's all of us. That was Abraham, the father of faith. That's all of us. That's some strong words. And then verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We just sing, there's no one righteous, no, not one. That's all of us. That was all of us. That was Abraham. So what happens now? Oh man, falling short. The sinner, Abraham's, I've been here for 15 years. God called me 15 years ago, and I'm waiting. So let's go back to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go. He didn't say, if you can, if you want, maybe, please. If you think about it, pray about it, okay, Abraham? Pray about it. And then if you decide, talk it over with your wife and, get some, go to some counseling. And then if you want, you could go. I didn't see that part, did you? Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, okay? Leave it. You want me to leave everything behind? All the things that I've been living for? You want me to leave that from behind? Go from your country and your kindred. And you want me to leave my family too? When God calls, he calls. Jesus, this guy went up to Jesus and he asked, I want to be one of your disciples, but first I got to go and bury my father. That's what Jesus said. Let the dead bury the dead. There's no restriction. We got to serve God with everything we have.
Amen.
Everything we got. It says, and your kindred and your father's house to the land, what? That I will show you. God, it's so rich. We ain't getting too late. We're going to see what this land is. It's amazing. And I will make of you a great nation. This is God. He said, go. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. We're supposed to be blessings to others, not to ourselves, just to ourselves. I see my friend Jeff back there, and always growing up, he was always such a blessing to so many people. He'd take me and my brother out. Let's go get Subway. Let's go get this. Let's go get that. Always blessing people. Always giving. And our life is to be a blessing to others. And on top of that, just blessing others, but giving them God, giving them the gospel, giving them something that changes some of their life for eternity. Right? That's the greatest blessing of all.
Amen.
And it says, I will bless those who bless you, and him, verse 3, who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, and he said, okay, I'll think about it. Finally, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed for Haran. Yeah, it took him a little while, huh? Yeah, he thought about it. Maybe it was probably a little long. How long do we wait to fulfill the call of God on our lives? How long do we wait to believe the gospel? To get on the other side of the river? Or are we stuck? We're stuck. We're getting held back. We see even his dad, Haran, Terah. I always get this confused. Terah holding him back. His things of this world holding him back. What's going to be the point where we're like, Ain't nothing holding me back. Ain't nothing holding me back, right? So it said, so he went from beyond the river. And I think about, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. So what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefathers, according to the flesh? Nothing. God says, give it all up. You know, we cannot be saved in our own merits, in our own works, in our own rituals. It was only by the grace of God. And the word is going to spell it up for us. The only thing that we could do in the flesh is be on the other side. Huh? Which we all were. Be on the other side. And that's where we don't want to be. Especially when the Lord comes calling. Huh? Where was you at? I was on the other side. That's not got to be a good thing, huh? Where was you at? I was on the other side. So we were once on the other side. Some of us are still on the other side. Some of us are still dabbling in serving other gods. What should we do? How do I get out of this? We got to come to Christ. We got to come to Christ. John chapter 3, verse 7, it says what? You must be born again. A new life. Born again. How are we born again? I had the opportunity to see my wife give birth to my children. And I'll tell you what didn't happen. Was they didn't come out like this and like, da-da-da-da, look what I've done. No, my wife, she put in some work. I'm glad I don't have to put in that work, praise God. But the kid did nothing. The kid was a bystander. He was a bystander in there, and then he has the audacity to cry when they come out. You didn't do nothing. What you crying about? I'll give you something to cry about. You know, she did the work, and that's what God does. He produces in us faith and salvation. We're going to get to that. Okay? Don't get it. You're getting too far ahead of yourself. But why? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, right? Amen. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Do we believe? Amen. Do we trust? Or are we on the other side? I'm going to wait 15 more years. I'm going to wait till I'm 75. Whoa. You know? I remember after I got saved at 17 years old, you know, God bring me out of discouragement, depression, and suicide. And God changed my life. I like this Jesus stuff. This is good. You know, before that, I thought it was like a waste of time. Let's make fun of my neighbor, John. Dude, what are you doing going to church every Sunday, bro? You waste all day? Seriously? All day. Man, dude, we're playing. We're having fun. Man, forget that church stuff. But when God rocks your life, when you have no hope, when you're on the other side, you're like, man, I ain't got nowhere else to turn. And then I went to start, there's no Christian club at Picture High School, so I went there and got these petitions, and please sign this, we're going to start this Christian club. People are like, what are you talking about? You're supposed to do that when you're like 35. 35? What happens if I die before I'm 35? Or people are like, I'm going to do it when I'm 75. What happens if you die before you're 75? I had a friend, and he was an older guy. It was actually my friend Micah's uncle. And I used to try to witness to him about the gospel and tell him about Christ, and he kind of listened. But he had cancer, and he was dying. And a couple days before his death, I went to go visit him. And he had Micah's dad come to me and say, tell Brandon, don't tell me nothing about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. Just in a couple days, he died. Same kind of story, the guy at work that my dad was friends with. Me and my dad were working together. And this guy, my mom was talking to him about the gospel. And even his son was a youth minister. He said, and my mom says, are you ready? He says, no, I'm not ready to give my life to the Lord. 2 weeks later, he's dead. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why are we still on the other side? And we're going to see how does this salvation thing work? Why are we still dabbling in all these things in the worship of the things of this world? That's why there's no peace in people's life. Oh, we can't figure out, man, I can't sleep, I have no peace. Man, I'm stressed. And I get it, things go on in life. But when you're just not living in peace, maybe we're still on the other side. Or maybe we're dabbling. Maybe we've got one foot in, right? Oh, I'll just get waist deep. And all of a sudden, you're swimming back to the other side, huh? So how can we do this? How can I get my life changed? How can I get saved? This born-again thing. It's by grace we are saved, right? Through faith.
Amen.
You know, how many... you guys have ever heard of the layaway plan? Remember these stores? What? Remember Mervyn's?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Sears?
Yeah.
What do you kids know about that? My mom used to work at Mervyn's. That's where she bought my clothes. It's called Dura Jeans. There weren't no Levi's. Kmart? You guys ever Kmart?
Yeah.
All those were at a mall. Not even a separate Kmart. A mall is this big place where you go in and there's stores. You walk into the store, it's like Amazon, but you go inside, right? And you see the stuff, and you pick it up, and you look at it, and you put it in a basket, and you roll it, and you pay for it there. And guess what? You put it in your car and you take it home. But there's this, you know, layaway. There's a layaway plan. I remember my mom putting clothes on layaway. And, you know, we go pick them out. All right, I want all these. And you're excited. Yeah, I'm going to get this. And it's, I don't say weeks, months, depends how much money you got, right, to pay it off. And hopefully it's not halfway through the school year where your clothes got stopped or you outgrown them. But we think of our salvation like it's on a layaway plan. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do this good deed. I'm going to do that good deed. And I'm going to work my way up. And then when I finally pay it off, then I could be saved and go to heaven. There's no way, that's not layaway Christianity. We're not putting our salvation on layaway.
Come on.
All of the religions, that's all of the religions. I gotta pay a little bit about this. I better pay a little bit of that. You will never pay off the debt. It'll never be enough in your own strength. You can never pay it off. It's like this. You go rob a bank, right? And what's going to happen? You're going to jail, huh? You're going in La Pinte, huh? I know a little bit of Spanish. That's the penitentiary. You know? And so you go into prison. And what you say, but hey, Judge, I gave all the money to the poor. All of it. And I drilled wells for people that have no water. I gave money to the poor. I gave all this for you. What is the judge going to say? He's going to be like, okay, let's go on. A just judge is going to say, well, you're still guilty. So even the good we've done never erases the sin and never erases the bad deed. So you can never earn your salvation. That's why it's only by the grace of God. That's why when God said, Abraham, go. And then he said, I took him, right? I took him. We can never pay that off. There ain't no layaway plan for salvation. So don't, if you try, that's why I don't even know if they got to pay away no more. Huh? Yeah, I think some of my clothes are still at Mervyn's. Hope I get those one day. So it's not by work. So let's see what it is. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Check it out. It says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins. What does dead people do? Dead people are what? They're dead, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, did they even say they're dead? Like, No, they're dead. They can't do nothing. Can you be like, hey, man, get up. Come alive. Come on, what are you doing? Why are you sitting there dead? No, they're dead, right? Dead people can't come alive on their own. You can't even ask them. You know what dead a dead person has to have happen? They have to be made alive. They have to be made alive in Christ, and only Christ can make a dead person dead again.
Amen.
Right? And so it says, you were dead in your trespasses, sins. That's all of us. That's all of us, even Father Abraham, in which you once walked. Following what? What is it? The course of this world. We're all on that course. All for our own things. Making our retirement. I gotta get this set up. I gotta get that set up. I gotta do this. And there's nothing wrong with retirement, don't get me wrong. But that's not the focus. Following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air. That's demonic. That's demons and Satan. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That was us. Among whom what? We all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We remember, huh? Even babies. Even little kids. Living in the passions of their flesh, huh? Remember my daughter. She would get mad at my son and would hit him with a bat. Yeah. I didn't do no bad. I just did Tonka trucks on my brother. Yeah, I guess a couple scars. But you can see that even them, right? In the passions of their flesh. Even that baby, or a baby always crying. What you crying for? But we see it in them. And that's us. It says the passion of the flesh. It says what? Carrying out the desires of the body, of this physical body, and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. What's that, children of wrath? Destined for wrath. What does destined for wrath mean? Destined for hell. All of us. All of us were on that. All of us were on the other side. We're beyond. Are we going to hear the call of God? Verse 4. For God being rich. This is so amazing, huh? It didn't stop there. It's not that right now, oh man, I'm destined for wrath. Oh, forget it. No, check it out. Verse 4. But, amen, God. But God being rich in mercy. You know God is rich. He's rich. He ain't rich. He rich. He owned the cattle on a thousand hills. He created all the stars. He named them. He knows how many hairs on your head right now. He knows it all. He's rich. Amen. Check it out. Amen. Rich in what? What is that? Mercy. Thank you, God. I've needed plenty. I still need it. I still need it. Rich in mercy. Thank you, Lord. God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he lavished, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, what happened? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him. This is awesome. This is amazing. This is what we look forward to. With him in this, and seated us with him in the heavenly places. In where? How? Who? Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show what? The immeasurable riches of his grace. In kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The immeasurable riches of grace. Unending. Because you can't pay it off. Even though you gave all the money to the poor, you can't pay it off. We need the immeasurable riches of God's grace.
Amen.
It says, in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For what? How does this work out? We just... I got to have faith. Our work I'm just going to produce faith in me, and that would be kind of my work. You know, faith is not even a work. How do you know? Okay. Thank you for asking. For by grace you have been saved. This grace is unmerited favor. Nothing you can do. Have been saved. What? Through faith. Okay. Get it? Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Even the faith is the gift of God. Not a result of works. Not what we do. So that no one may boast. Because we would, huh, my man? And people try to do that. Yeah, I'm smarter than him. I accept Jesus. Right? Some people think that, I'm more holy than that brother over there. I don't do that kind of thing. I'm a prideful man. You see him right now. Right? And that's what we think, right? Then we could boast. And we're going to find out why Abraham. About Abraham. So that no one can boast for what? Check it out. For we are his workmanship. He crafted us. Josiah made this, my son. Isn't that awesome? And my son make me something to use for the kingdom of God. What are we making for the kingdom of God in our lives? And he made this with his craftsmanship. And so God made us. For we are his craft, we are his workmanship. Created in Christ. What? Jesus. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're saved by the grace of God, but he prepared for us good works. You know, it's like me with my wife. You know, I don't go to work. Well, sometimes I feel like that, but I got to go to work and pay the bills for my wife and kids so they can eat and so I can turn on the heater. And, you know, and I say, you know, last night I let my wife, I said, okay, babe, I turned the heat up for you. 67 it is. Better take off that sweatshirt now. I'm burning good money here. You know, no, we don't do that. We want to, it was 67, but. But we don't do that. Oh man, I have to serve God, or I have to do this for my family. No, I want to. I want to provide for my wife. I love my wife. I want to provide for my kids. I love my kids. Just like when we love God. We want to serve him, and we want to do the good works that he's called us to do, right?
Amen.
That's what we want to do. It's great. Right? Tony the Tiger, right? Tony the Tiger get fired up about cereal. Man, we can get fired up about Jesus. It's great, right? We get fired. Tony the Tiger get fired up about cereal. We get fired up about Jesus.
Amen.
Right? He's much better than Frosted Flakes. He's much better, right? Frosted Flakes is tasty, but not so good for you. So what are we to do? What are we to do? So let's back to Romans. Okay, back to Romans. And so let's see what happens with like Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Went from the other side. Verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? We see nothing, right? Nothing. He gained nothing. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. We talked about, I saved myself. No, he didn't. But not before God. Oh, you can boast all you want around here, but not before God. Because it's God's work. How insulting is that? It says, you know, if we could add any works, then Christ died for nothing. You mean he went through that torture and hung on a cross for our sins, and I still got to pay for it? How insulting that is to God. He paid the price. He paid the price. And so it says, for what does Scripture say? Oh, okay, I want to know. Check it out. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That was his work. He believed God. Do we believe God? Are we ready to answer the call like Abraham did? Because our actions back up our words, huh? I could be like, oh, babe, I love you so much. Angela. You're the only woman for me. And I'm going on dates with other people. And what's telling the truth of my life? my words or my actions. So actions do back up our words, right? Back up even our faith. It doesn't save us, but it shows where we're at. So we see right here in verse 3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. So people like, you hear like prosperity preachers and stuff like that. What do you believe in God for? And I think about that as like the Price is Right Christian. Right? A new car! I don't know if you guys ever seen Price is Right. It's a new car! And then only five. And then with my own works, I got to pull the wheel. And then hope it lands on a $1 green bill. Right? So I get a new car! Right? Or I got to put the puzzle in the right place to get. No, it's not. It's paid for by Jesus Christ. This ain't no Price is Right Christianity. No Price is Right faith. It's paid for. It's done. We can't manipulate and spin the wheel and do this and that, and now I'm saved. That's why Abraham could not boast. He could not boast. We believe God for salvation, a changed holy life. And where it says what it was counted to his righteousness. And that counted is that Jesus, we were bankrupt in our sins. We were dead. And he transferred his money in his account to us. He put it in our account. You guys get that? Which is amazing. In our account. So what are we to do? It says, verse 4, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Christmas morning, I was thinking about, kids are getting a little older, so we're going to get them gifts, but they're going to have to pay for them before they get to unwrap them. That one was $75. If you don't want it, I'll return it and get my money back. Would it be a gift if I'm making my kids pay for it?
No.
No, it's no longer a gift. It's wages. You go to work for what? For wages. So what is our wages? What do we deserve? Man, you know that everybody says out there, get what you deserve. Right? Get what you deserve. So what are our wages? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. Death, hell. But it doesn't stop there. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our wages, what we do, deserves death. But what God did deserves life, eternal life in Christ Jesus, right? Verse 5 says, and to the one who does not work, but believes, to him who justifies. God, he justified. This word justify means just as if you've never sinned. When we believe what? Who? In him, Christ Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, meaning that is accounted to us as righteousness, being in right standing with God. But as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. It's apart from works. And so what is this faith that he's talking about? Yeah, I want this faith. Why do I get this faith? Obviously, we see it as a gift. So what is it? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. See what this faith is all about. Actually, Hebrews chapter 11. Sorry. We will get to 12. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Insurance. So, man, I'm trusting you, God, right? The assurance of things hoped for this salvation. The conviction of things not seen. I'm believing you, God. And this is not no new age, speak it into existence. No. This is trusting God for our salvation. For by it the people of old received their commendation. You're a commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. God, if God could create the universe, God could change my life. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, by faith, we understand that God, that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Let's go down to verse 8. So we see what faith is. So Abraham here. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, what did he do? He obeyed. God calls us, and so obedience will follow faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place. When he was what called, remember? He'd go. That he was to receive an inheritance. And let's see what this inheritance is. Man, I want 10 acres on a lake or on the river. That sounds nice, I'm going to lie, but... Wait, is that the inheritance he's talking about? Oh, yeah. The inheritance. Your dad's old 69 Camaro. And my brother's favorite car. And my dad don't have one, sorry. It says that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know. He didn't know where he's going. That's faith. It's trusting God. God, where are you leading me? I have this life. I got all these bills to pay. I got this and that. I got family, my dad, you know, and he waited 15 years. I don't know about going to the other side. What did it say? It said that he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise. Let's check this out. What's this going to land going to be? For us, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac. You know, he never inherited nothing on that land. He never owned a piece of property there. It wasn't about that. Check it out what it is about. It's amazing. Verse 10. For he was looking, what was he looking forward to? The 10 acres on a lake? For he was looking forward to what? The city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Amen. That's the city that we are to inherit. That's the greatest inheritance that we could ever imagine, right? That city to be inherited. That's foundations are built by God. So why are we wasting our time on the things of this earth? By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful, who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him, as good as dead. That was us, right? That's kind of messed up, huh? You, man. You how old, 75? You as good as dead. Whoa! Yeah, and he had to wait 25, after the promise, he had to wait 25 years. 100. Oh man, God ain't blessing me. What's going on, God? I thought my life was supposed to change. He had to wait 25 years for the promise, for the son. We ain't ready to wait 25 minutes, huh? When's dinner going to be waiting? I'm hungry now. No, I get slapped around. This is... So as good as dead, was born descendants as many as the stars of heaven. God fulfills his promises, doesn't he? As many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith. That's how I want to die, man. In faith, trusting God at the end, right? God still got plans for your life. I don't care how old you are. Not having received the things promised. What happened? He didn't receive. But having seen them and greeted them from afar. We're still far off of them. Our promise is salvation in Christ Jesus. But there's another promise. Check this out. What it is. For having acknowledged that they were strangers and exile in the earth. And that's where we are, sojourners. We're wandering around. You're thinking, in my life, man, I'm wandering around, going this, I don't know. When even before I saved, I was like, I remember walking down the street, I'm walking somewhere, but it feels like I'm not going anywhere because spiritually I was not going anywhere. I was on the other side. I was an exile. And I'm still an exile, right? It says that, I'm trying to find where, sorry. So all these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having knowledge that they were strangers and exiles on earth. It's not about this life, right? For people who speak thus make it clear that they what are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have an opportunity to return. If we're thinking about only the things on this earth, where do you think we should try to go back to? We're going to try to go back to that old life. We get caught back. It says if they're thinking of that, it says what? They would have opportunity return. But there's a but again. I love it. But as it is, they desire. What is our desire? What is really our desires in life, right? They desire what? House by the lake? No. They desire a better country. Where's this better country? I want to go to this. Where's this better country at? I want to go, right? A better country that is what? A heavenly one. That's our inheritance, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Thank you, Lord. For he has prepared for them a city. That God has prepared for us a city. Are we going to be on the other side? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, so we want to leave this world behind, leave all this stuff behind, leave these fleshly desires behind. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so tightly. Or some versions say, like trips us up, that every sin that clings so tightly, so closely. And let us run. What are we to do? We're supposed to lay it aside, right? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I used to hate running in junior high school from the mile. We had this teacher at Pittsburgh Central Junior High School, Mr. Durrell. He was tough. And I didn't hate running as much as my brother, though. My brother hated running. And you have to run the mile, and listen to Mr. Durrell, and he'd be like, pick up your feet, Reeves! Pick up your feet! You didn't want to run. And sometimes you feel like, I'm tired, man. This is like, life gets tough. Right? It does. Life gets tough. It throws stuff at us. I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired of running. I'm going through it. I don't have no peace in my life. Maybe we're dabbling a little bit, right? Putting our little toe in the river, back in the river, right? But check it out. He says, throw off every weight that which clings so tightly, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is this race? Looking what? To what? What is the race? Get our eyes what? Looking toward Jesus. And how do we get this faith? The founder who Jesus is, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Who what? For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That Christ went to the cross with joy. Why? Because he's dying for us, that he can redeem his children with his own blood. Amen. With his own death. Despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Back to Romans chapter 4. Back to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to finish this up. Romans chapter 4. And see what verse 6. Just as David also spoke of blessings of the one to whom God counts righteousness. God counts righteousness to us, not for what anything we did, apart from work. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds, are forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my lawless deeds. And whose sins are covered. Thank you, God, for covering my sins. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sins. Praise God that when we trust in Jesus Christ, because we can't pay it off on our own, it'll never be enough. We're not on the salvation layaway plan. You can never pay the debt. Jesus Christ paid the debt.
Amen.
And that's where it says, the Lord will not count his sins. Man, God is so amazing. And it goes on to verse 9. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised? Only, you know, for the Jews or for those people, you know? Or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. That means meaning right standing with God. Remember, his faith, trust in God. Now he's right with God. How then was it counted to him? What was it before or after he had been circumcised? Before he did, this circumcision is rituals. We think we could please God by rituals, right? Doing a certain kind of prayer. And I learned that in Catholic catechism. We was Catholic, but we never went to church. You know, I had to go to catechism. Get my first communion. Now, oh, I'm good. I know I'd never go back to this place again. But we, you know, do certain prayers or light candles or rosary, you know. And that's all religions besides Christianity. And it says that how then was it counted to him, this righteousness? Was it before? Was it by rituals? By circumcision? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. So he was counted as righteous before he did any of these rituals. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness, meaning those good works follow after you've been saved. They follow. That was the seal of the righteousness. That was to show it. That he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised, the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe. Amen? That's us, the father of all who believe. Without being circumcised, so the righteousness would be counted to them as well. That's what I want. God's righteousness counted to me. And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but also who walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise of Abraham and his offspring. And when we talk about his offspring, it's not us. When it talks about offspring, it's talking about the seed, Christ. This promise is to Christ and whoever puts their faith in Christ. It's not a physical thing. It's not I was born into the right family. It's not I'm Jewish or I'm this or I'm that. No, it says we're all one in Christ Jesus, right? There's no Jew, no Gentile. There's no slave, no free. There's no black, no white. We family up in here, right?
Amen.
It's by the grace of God. By Christ alone. For the promise, verse 13, to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heirs of the world. We would be heirs of the world.
Amen.
Did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Trusting God, faith, believing him. For it is the inherent of the law who are to the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, right? If we try to observe the law and try to be saved by the law, that brings wrath. That brings hell. But there where there is no law, there is no transgression because God, Jesus Christ, paid the price. That is why it depends on faith and trusting God in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the ones who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed. And that's where I want to be. In the presence of God, right, in whom we believe. One day when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to be in his presence. Who gives life to what? The dead. To me, a dead person. To the dead. And calls into existence the things that do not exist. And this is not no New Age stuff. I'm just going to speak it out and and faith, and I'm just going to, you know, believe what I'm saying. If I just believe enough, then it's going to come true. No, what he's talking about, what this is speaking out, where it says that in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. He calls our faith into existence. He calls our faith into existence. In hope, he believed against hope. We think, oh man, I feel hopeless. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I could do this. He hoped against our fleshly hope. He hoped against our fleshly hope. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was, there it goes again, as good as dead. People think, man, I'm as good as dead. I've just been going through it in life. Man, I don't know what else I can do. I'm at my last point. I'm at the last draw. I don't know what else to do. And I'm just going through too much right now. And people get caught up, right? We get emotional and caught up in these things. And we all go through stuff in life, right? We all go through struggles. We all go through hurts. We all go through pains. But we ain't as good as dead. Why? What happened? Which was, he says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. My dad just went to my aunt's 104th birthday yesterday. Five? Oh, thank you. That's long old. She ain't dead. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. No distrust. In that waver, it talks about stagger. He said, no waver, no stagger. You know, he wasn't like, oh, I don't know about, you know, distrusting God. No, he said he did not stagger. He did not waver in this. But what happened? No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. For what? The city that is built with the foundations of God, right? Our salvation. Promise of God. But what happened to him? At what? 100? What? Check it out. What happened? He grew strong in his faith. When we feel like we're as good as dead, we trust God and we could grow strong in our faith as he gave glory to God. How do we grow strong in our faith? By giving glory to God. Amen. Right? By giving glory to God. It will change your life. Man, we serve a good God. Fully, check it out, fully convinced. Fully, we ain't fully convinced about that. We can't even decide what we're going to have for dinner, huh? You think we could save ourselves and get that? I keep myself safe. I can't even stick to a diet. I'm going to save myself? I'm going to keep I can't even stick to a diet. All right, someone come with like some cake. Well. Right? But check by Abraham. Fully convinced. He was as good as dead. He thought, in my body, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. You know, it was accounted to him as righteousness. He wasn't saved by his works, by his rituals, but the word is, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. Isn't that amazing? It's not just for Abraham. It's not just for his children, but for ours also, right? This salvation is for us, for all who receive him. To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Only Christ alone. Amen. Only Christ alone. But ours also. It will be counted to us who what? Believe in who? In him. In Christ. who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised us for what? Justification. And that justification is just as if it never happened, just as if your sin never happened. Skip a lot because time is up. But I want to leave you guys with this little quote. A little story first. There was this old guy. He lived in the mountains in the Philippines, and he didn't kind of read or write. And he, hard worker, had a little farm. And he was saving all this money for an ox to make his job easier on him. So he saved for years and years and years and years. And then a time came, all this money he saved up. And then what happened, and his name was Felix Gardio. And he saved up until he was 60 years old. And so he went to go turn in this money, but what had happened, in 1975, they had switched the money over. So that money was no longer good. So he goes to turn it in, and all his life he saved up. We think we're in this life, we're saving up for all this, right? We're saving up for now. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be worthless. But he saved it all up, and he's like, man, had this person write the president, and the president's name was Ferdinand de Marcos. So he wrote this letter, and he said, the law has to be obeyed. Even the president has to obey the law. He says, but this is what I will do. I'll take from my account, and I will give it to your account so that you can buy that off. And that's what grace is. That's what Christ did for us. He took it from his account. And he died for our account. That's a true story. That's cool. But what's even truer than that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right?
Amen.
With a heavenly city. And last thing is, a little quote that says, only one life, it soon will pass, right? The Bible says our life is like a mist. We're here for a moment, then we're gone. And then right after that, this James chapter 4 says, what is your life? Sum it up. Is it on the other side of the river? Or is it living in promise in Jesus Christ? Is it trusting God, following Him? So it says, only one life, it soon will pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have the worship team come on up. And the pastor will be here. And if any of you guys, if you don't know the Lord, and you want to be born again, you want this, not this earthly inheritance, but you want heavenly inheritance. You want Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. Come and talk to Pastor. He's right there. Or come talk to me, and we'll share the gospel with you. But you can put your faith in Christ too. Heavenly inheritance, right? That's exciting. That city, right? That's exciting. I'm excited. Cool. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is so rich. Your word is so amazing, Lord God. I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that your word would continue to work in our lives. Lord, help us to put our faith, our hope, our trust in you, Lord. Lord God, I pray for each and every person here, Lord God, that their life would be set aside for your glory. Lord, anybody that may not know you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would quicken their lives. You would bring them from dead to life. And Lord, they put their faith in you for their only salvation. Lord, we love you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.